the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morten and Troy, how are you?
Great, at least we're both wearing Dr. Martens.
Exactly.
Oh, me too.
In the summer. Yeah, actually, Tessa's as well. They're just sandals, flash Doc Martens sandals.
Okay.
There's nothing like wearing a pair of Docs in the summer to really make you question some life choices.
But no, I don't question it at all. Things ain't slowing down this time of year, though, at all.
Picking up, if anything.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But I mean, in terms of new releases and stuff coming. And I thought on that sort of a note,
mm-hmm.
I brought in three things today by three artists who were insanely prolific Well, two of them have been extremely prolific this year. One of them was extremely prolific in 1979.
Excellent.
So, prolific artist number one with his third or fourth album this year is Greg Foat. Now, Greg is recently hopped over to Athens of the North, and you'll remember just a few months ago we had The Mage.
I remember.
You liked the cover, if I recall.
I did. This is lovely. This is called The Door into Summer. So what can you tell us about Greg Foat?
Well, Greg himself is someone that's not really a personality kind of musician. All of his focus goes into a musical expression of slightly different sorts. You know, sometimes he'll come out as sounding like an organ player in a 60s soul jazz group. Sometimes he'll do like library music. Sometimes it sounds like kind of soundtracky jazz.
Cool.
Sometimes, like this, he'll add Binka Golding. He'll add, who else is on this? Malcolm Catto from the Heliocentrics. In fact, this new album, which is entitled The Dreaming Jewels, was recorded at Malcolm's studio.
That's very cool. What's it called?
The Dreaming Jewels.
Dreaming Jewels?
The Dreaming Jewels.
It
sounds like a girl group from the 60s.
The Dreaming Jewels.
The Dreaming Jewels, yeah.
Sounds more 70s to me, but I know where you're talking about. You think you get to this point, okay, your number four album of the year, is it more of the same, Greg? No, it's nothing like any of the other four.
I'm just always amazed by people who can put out so much work within a year and it all actually be really good and interesting and not just more of the same.
And if you're focused and if you don't play the games that you're told to play, I think it's possible. As you can hear, Greg, of course, is the keyboard player.
I like that the song you selected was The Door into Summer. Is that because the sun is shining and summer's coming and you're very excited?
You know that's not the truth.
It's got a lovely cover. It's like almost just like a sunburst
or
something.
A rainbow reflection.
Rainbow refraction something.
Refraction.
Refraction.
Is it?
So the track listings are lovely. Sapphire Dreams. Oh, this one's actually less lovely. Eric's Breakdown.
No, I think of that as being the breakdown in the song.
Imagine so, but
it's not about
you could
Eric.
Read that in many ways.
Yeah.
The Door into Summer, which we're listening to now. Not that it makes any difference. And on side two, you've got Lake Kisharo.
Yep.
Kisharo. Kisharo River. This is not necessarily my answer, but ... And The Dreaming Jewels, which is also the name of this record. This is really lovely.
So again, we have Binka playing in a much more sort of smooth, approachable style, much like on his Abstractions album this year, rather than the sort of fire-breathing Binka and Moses type stuff.
So this is, I was just asking Troy off air what some of his highlights of the year in releases have been, and you said Binka was one of yours.
Yeah. Binka's album on Gearbox is... Partly it's because it feels like such a U-turn for him, but I thought it was a fantastic record.
That's a very...
But how's this? Isn't this,
this
great?
Is, yeah, I was going to say, it's very wonderful to hear a whole bunch of incredible musicians playing together, though. This is so distinctly summery as well. It does feel like a lovely long afternoon.
Wearing shoes, though.
Wearing shoes.
I've actually slipped my sandals off.
Troy looks distinctly uncomfortable. The label says funk-tinged modal jazz featuring Malcolm Catto and Binka Golding. This is a bit funky.
Yeah, see, I do think, particularly with musicians like this, and a lot of the ones we've listened to are from the crate this year, is that it's really not about something as a noun.
Mm-hmm.
This is not funk-tinged jazz. That's the style that, that, in this case, Greg Foe is playing in to release his, you know, to... for his music to come out through.
Yeah.
It's not, he's not going, I'm going to make this funky. No, I mean, well, maybe he'd say that, but he's not going to say, I'm going to make some funk.
Some funk.
I think. I don't know. I don't know the dude. I could be wrong.
All of the photos of Greg Foto online have him in like a little lovely little bow tie, looking very sort of snappy and ready to go.
Had a shave in the pictures you're looking at?
In that particular one, he has, but in some of them.
Some of them, no.
No, no, yes.
It's not so good. But yes.
What's this?
Well, this is the third album this year from Sarface.
Oh, wait. No, hang on. This is Herbie.
Oh, this is Herbie.
Yeah, this is Herbie.
Should we do this one?
Let's do this one.
I think it's happening.
Oh, well, I've got the wrong things ready over here.
Sorry,
Here we go. All right. So this one came out on Records Today, 2 weeks ago, the Black Friday, and we managed to get a couple more copies of it.
This is a great cover. This is, I've got to say, album cover of the morning so far.
Ooh, big call, Rachel. You haven't even seen the third one. So far.
It could change.
So, this was 1979 it came out. 1979, Herbie did a bunch of records.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, well, two of them were in Japan. Actually, no, more than two, because there was a live VSOP as well. Anyway, this was recorded in Japan, as was Kimiko Kasai's Butterfly, which Herbie plays on. He does a version of his own song, Butterfly, on this as well. This one is called Direct Step. Now, at the time, it was a fairly new idea that... remember a few weeks ago we had a direct disc thing from Sean Coogee?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so Herbie did this in Japan, and it was right where they'd worked out a method to make the fidelity almost perfect.
Uh-huh.
Coincidentally, this album is one of the first albums released on CD ever.
Really?
Yeah, coincidentally.
Like, the world?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It wasn't released in 79 on CD, but like very early in the 80s. Now, what was this? He was invited to come in and do this direct disc session. And so one of the things is, obviously, you have no overdubs. So what you're hearing is a complete live performance in the studio.
Wow, okay.
We're not going to get the exact same quality thing now because I don't know what happened to the original plates of disc server. So, you know, but nonetheless, who did he take with him? Three of the headhunters are on this. This might have been one of the first times he used that Sennheiser vocoder.
Right.
And he added, because it was done live, he needed another keyboard player as well. So we have Herbie and it's gone from my head. Who else is on keyboard?
Let's have a look. I'll get this liner notes out.
I hope you can read kanji.
I do just want to say, is it all in kanji? Well, I'm not going to be any good
then,
am I?
This was a Japanese-only release at the time, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I do want to just point out the reason why I like this cover so much. It's got quite a dark photo of two massive elephants and three little girls looking at the elephants. I think in a zoo, I presume, or something like that.
No, I think they're looking at a painting of an elephant. See, they're trying to touch it.
Oh, so you are.
It's a giant painting of a couple of elephants, and these three children are like...
That's amazing.
...reaching up to touch it. It's in Japan somewhere.
It's a beautiful photo anyway. Enigmatic.
Yeah.
That's the word. That vocoder is so iconic.
Well, it was only the beginning of it for Herbie. You know, it characterised a lot of his 80s stuff, of course. But, you know, at this time, he was only 10 or 11 years being out of Miles's group.
Right.
You know, and Miles's group was basically, most of the time he was in it, was an acoustic group. He was playing the piano, you know. Yes, so they've reproduced this record much like it was put out in the first place. You can take it out.
Trying to get it out of its plastic. Bit of ASMR there as well.
Mm-hmm.
great photos inside.
Oh, yeah.
But this one, I really like this one of Herbie playing two different keys, keyboards,
oh,
with
look,
two different hands.
He's on the prophet there.
Yeah. And then you've got photos of all of the band. Webster Lewis.
Yes, that's who plays keys with Herbie, Webster.
Fortunately not in kanji, so I could read that.
Oh, okay.
Other people on this are Alphonse Mouzon, Paul Jackson, Ray Obedo, Benny Maupin, and Bill Summers.
So Paul, Benny, and Bill are, of course, from the Headhunters.
I just gave Rachel a very confusing hand gesture because I this track is actually 15 minutes long.
It's not long enough, I would say.
And as much as it's glorious.
I think it means it's time for Sarface, is that right?
Oh, is that what you meant?
Okay. I think so. Let's hit it.
Sorry, Troy.
All right, anyway, Direct Step by Herbie Hancock, released by Get On Down in a almost exact reproduction with the Obie strip, with all the original stuff on it. The only different bit is they've stuck a barcode and a Sony Music and a Get On Down logo. All
excellent.
Right. Sarface have released three albums this year. The newest album came out on Black Friday in one version, which is the one I'm holding up now.
Oh, this has also got a good cover.
I always love the
And then tomorrow
animations.
Dog.
The animations on like all of this kind of group of people's vinyl is always so good.
It's a L'Amour Supreme does the art for these.
We've got a query for you, yes. Troy. Someone said I stumbled on the Jazz Mataz Volume 1 last week. Is it any good on vinyl and is it in store?
The answer is yes, it is. It is very good on vinyl.
Thought you might say that.
For anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about Guru's first record, Jazz Mataz, which had him with, he grabbed people like Donald Byrd to join him on. It was a fantastic record. It was his idea of mixing hip-hop with jazz. Do we have it in store? Good question. The last time we had it in, and I think we may still have it, was in a 3LP box, which had one LP of instrumentals, one original Jazz Mataz, and one of remixes. Hope that answers your question.
There you go, Paul. So, Sarface, which one is out at the moment and which one's out tomorrow?
The one you're holding is out at the moment,
so
that version.
The Odds Are Against Us?
The Odds Are Against Us is the name of the record.
This is amazing. It's like a big cartoon of a sort of like evil alligator lizard thing.
That's Sarface.
I know, but I'm trying to describe it for people at home. It looks a bit like Thor, if Thor's a big evil alligator lizard thingy. Yo, it's all kind of what's on your one there, Tess?
I don't know where you want me to start.
Just give me a... say what you see.
It's a lot. It's just basically a comic.
You got
it's
a robot comic. Dog. You got a robot, robot dog. You got some big space blasters. There's Sarface in the corner as well. And then you've got sort of like a big skull metal man in the middle. I hope that's helping people visualize it.
So this song is kind of daft. This one has a bit of swearing. Anyways, unlike...
just a little bit.
Okay, this is an unfocused, aimless work. Yes, you're right. Unlike things like Ghostface with Sarface earlier this year and the Sarface versus Metalface with Doom last year, this one here, the songs don't have any sort of through narrative and it's not so much a fictional superhero thing. You have things on here about how lame social media is. You have things here about going to a burrito store and getting really, really sick.
Is that this track Burrito?
Yeah, Burrito. Nice. And it's apparently a true story, but I didn't want to play that in the morning.
No, I think that's probably fair enough.
And then Dog, an unfocused, chaotic piece of work.
It's very cool, though. I like it a lot.
So, yeah, so we've got two versions of the third Sarface album of the year. The one you're holding, Rachel, I think that one is a coloured vinyl version, too.
Oh, flash.
Yeah.
That's very good. So remind us of what you brought us this morning, Troy.
Right, Sarface, The Odds Are Against Us. It's The Odds Are Against Us.
That's the one.
Herbie Hancock, Direct Step. We've got a few more copies of the Black Friday release in. And the brand new album from Greg Foat, The Dreaming Jewels, out on Athens of the North.
Beautiful.
On the shelves now.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Troy. That'll be a lot of people's Christmas presents sorted, I'm sure.
For me.
Yeah. See you soon.
Thanks.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street. And